Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I don't really mean to be redundant in what I'm about to say, but the fact that it is very worth bearing repeating, that Advent truly is the season of the church's flat tire. All right? The rest of the world goes barreling along down the highway as the church is unavoidably delayed. I've used this analogy before, even last week, but it truly is a profound definition of the season of Advent. And I got to be honest with you, I have found this past week, the days leading up to today, really, as a continuation of that. Or even perhaps, a deepening recognition and acknowledgement of the delay as the world continues to constantly move past. In the news, we read and we see things that are quite disturbing on a regular basis. Awful things that people do to one another, say of one another, accuse of one another. And the news alone is proof that the world does whatever it wants as long as the bottom line is met. As long as money is made, as long as control is maintained, as long as my ideas are pressed down upon the rest. And the world continues to move forward in its own desires and in its own driving forces. In the meantime, though, real people are suffering. Real people are going through all of the pain and all of the heaviness, all of the weightiness of the world and of life. We don't even need to watch the news to know that's true. We face things like the death of a dear loved one, or the weight of a terminal diagnosis, the physical and emotional pain of enduring through chemo and radiation treatments, losing a job, especially around the holidays, finding your spouse has been unfaithful, or the car belonging to a single mother breaks down yet again, this time costing thousands to repair, thousands that she simply doesn't have. And then the fast-paced world all around us continues to go on, continues to move forward, barrel down the highway despite the heaviness that any one of us as an individual endures. And there is a cold, hard fact about all of this. Cold, hard fact is that most other people simply don't care. So many of us are completely wrapped up in our own world with our own concerns and troubles that those of another are just increasingly difficult to see. And it's in times like these that we can come to a point where we could question God or even doubt God. This is what I mean by having a flat tire time like Advent. Though we know that Advent doesn't end with the troubles, the pain and the suffering, the trials of the world. Advent ends in Christmas. Advent ends with the incarnation of our God. But it was a time like this in the life of John the Baptist, where we meet him today in our gospel reading from Matthew. John had been accused, arrested, and was now locked up in jail, sentenced to death. And it is in this place where he is, in the emotional part of his life, where he actually begins questioning Jesus a little bit. John has sent word from his own disciples, because he's in jail, he can't get out. John has sent word from his own disciples to Jesus, just asking him, are you the one? Are you the one who has come? Or is it time for us to look for another? Are you the one, or should we look for another? You can't convince me that this isn't the voice of one who is tired, alone, worried, troubled, doubting. I mean, it wasn't too long before this, actually, was it, that John the Baptist was known as the one who was crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord to make straight his paths? That John himself said, "Behold the Lamb of God," when he saw Jesus walking to the Jordan River. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes one who is greater than me because he was before me." And now we have John saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or is it time to look for another?" John was forced to slow down. Not only to slow down, but to stop. To be delayed. To wait. And to recognize all that was going on, both in himself and in the world surrounding him. And because of that, he was able to acknowledge then who Jesus really is. Because Jesus sent hopeful word back to him. Said to John, "The blind will see. The lame will walk, the sick are healed, and the dead are raised up by me. For this is the good news which I bring. I have come into the world, John. I haven't changed." In the midst of the heaviness of the world, and in the midst of the heaviness of his own life, John the Baptist was able to hear again the good news that only comes from Jesus. There is no other truly good news. That it isn't all over. It isn't finished because of where I am right now, because of what I'm going through, because of what has happened, because of my own sins. It isn't over because of all that. In fact, this is the starting point. Because Jesus is the one who has come into the world to rescue the world. That Jesus truly is the one and only Christ. And then Jesus points his attention and words to the rest of the crowds. He sent this message on with John's disciples back to the prison. And now he turns his attention to the rest of the crowds. And he spoke of John the Baptist. And he asked them, what did you expect to see when you went out in the wilderness to witness this spectacle that is this eccentric fellow? This guy with the crazy hair and the long beard. One who lived out in the woods and ate weird things and dressed in weird clothes. What did you expect when you went out to see him? Did you expect to see a reed shaken by the wind? Well, Jesus is reminding the crowds that they went out to see John for a purpose. Because he was going to tell them what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. What they needed to hear. Now, we remember, though, this still is the same John the Baptist that even just last week when we heard in the gospel, he referred to the crowd as a brood of vipers. This is still the same John the Baptist. John was not afraid to tell the people a hard truth. And they knew that. And that's why they went out to see him. John was not someone who was going to change his opinion based upon the prevailing winds. And then Jesus reminds the people even further who John the Baptist is and who they are, who we are. John was a prophet, absolutely. In fact, he was more than a prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was the first prophet that Israel had seen in more than 400 years. And Jesus says, yes, that this John, the one who you know of, who you went out to see, this John is even Elijah who is to come. Yes, a great prophet. And in fact, the greatest born on the earth. And John, because of his stature as a prophet, is treated in much the same way as the prophets of old. This is why he's in jail. But surely this man who sits in jail, Jesus says, no one has been born greater than he. And that In that reminder that Jesus says no one is born greater than John, he says that even the least in heaven are greater than this. And this is how Advent points us to Christmas. Advent points us to Christmas. There are the King Herods of the world. King Herod is the one who has arrested and put John on trial. The King Herods of the world will constantly attempt to destroy us, our livelihoods, our hopes, our aspirations, our faith. We only need read a little bit further in Scripture to know the truth of that matter. John the Baptist will be beheaded. Jesus will be crucified. But the kingdom which John proclaims, the kingdom which Jesus ushers in is unbreakable by the violence that the world sees all around it. It is unbreakable because of the everlasting peace, that is, his presence, that comes from Jesus. He is the Christ, the one and only. And friends, this is why this season of Advent, it looks and it feels different than any other season in the church year. This is why we celebrate the season of Advent. And there are Advent hymns. And we don't want to jump too far ahead and get to the Christmas hymns yet. We know and love the Christmas hymns. But it's the Advent hymns, the Advent songs, the Advent music, the Advent prayers, the Advent scriptures are so valuable for us. They help us to prepare. But we know now from scriptures like this that we prepare by recognizing and acknowledging the difficulties of life, the pain and suffering, that we live into the lament of a world that can be crushing. We don't stay in that lament, though, do we? We know we don't stay there, that there is the hope of joy despite the pain and suffering, despite the world that is collapsing all around us. And I mentioned Advent hymns a minute ago. This is why an Advent hymn like In the Bleak Midwinter is so valuable. It helps us to recognize the cold harshness of the world while knowing that hope is there. And that's joy. That's this third candle that we light this week. The hope of joy, despite the heaviness of the world that is all around us. There is a great Augustinian theology that I think is so present and helps us to describe Advent a little bit. It says, in order to fully know true good, we must first acknowledge pain and suffering. So we look to John the Baptist. We look to him in his prominence, and we look to him even despite his painful doubt as the example that is set as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, we have one more week left in Advent. One more week. So during these next several days, we lean into the lament of life, but not without the hope of joy that is just beyond. It's just beyond, but it isn't out of reach. Now, I'll finish with these words. I'm going to finish with a couple of words. One, this is verse 10 from our reading from Isaiah. I think this is what it points. This last verse points us directly to the joy of hope during Advent. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Or, as is said by my favorite writer, Wendell Berry, who once wrote in a great summation of Advent, it gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born. Amen.
Forever open like the welcome rain. steadfast love beyond all measure. There is hope in Christ my King. Oh, Savior, hope of heaven, precious treasure of my life. All my joy is in your presence. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Savior, hope of heaven, precious treasure of my life. All my joy. Steadfast love beyond all measure. There is hope in Christ my King. There is hope in Christ my King.